Near FM. I am delighted now to be joined on the line by Dr. Ricardo Castellini da Silva, who is a PhD in media literacy at Dublin City University, just around the corner from us here. Ricardo, good afternoon, and it's lovely to chat to you again.
Good afternoon, Donny. Thanks for having me again.
We are going to discuss one of my pet hates, and I don't have many, but this is right up there at the top of the list. Misinformation and disinformation on social media and on different online platforms. Ricardo, I know we have discussed this before, and you've been the author and involved in several reports in relation to this topic, and the latest one has just been published again. What is the kernel of your findings in relation to these reports, and what are you recommending?
Okay, so this report was commissioned by the BAI, and prepared by the Institute for Future Media, Democracy and Society. And the idea was to present an analysis of the transparency report that was submitted mainly by Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Mozilla, TikTok, and Twitter, so big tech corporations, in response to the European Commission's report on tackling COVID-19 disinformation. We have to remember that there is now a code of practice that was put together by the European Commission to address the issue of disinformation, and they did so by inviting online platforms such as this one that I mentioned, and so that these companies could inform the European Commission about what measures they are taking to tackle these problems, okay? So that was the main idea about the code of practice. So these companies gave a lot of data to the European Commission. The European Commission released a report about this data, and then the Institute of Future Media, Democracy and Society analyzed some of this data. And actually, if you read the report, the main recommendations, there are a few of maybe 10 or 12 recommendations, but they all run around the same idea, is that we need more information, actually, Tom, because these companies are not providing enough data for researchers to actually analyze, you know, what's going on in the digital environment and come to conclusions, to definitive conclusions. So, like, and all these companies, I mean, I'm not talking about only Facebook or Google, all of them, they provide some information to us about, for example, how the algorithms work, how the target audiences work, how they were tackling, especially during the pandemic, how they were tackling disinformation in relation to COVID-19 by, for example, putting labels on posts, saying to people that this information is lacking a context, or maybe that people should click on the label and go to an official website to get more information about COVID-19. So they provided some information to the European Commission, but actually it was not enough. You know, it was, I think it was the first step, but we're still lacking information. So we need more transparency. We, for example, they say that they put those labels and they were doing some fact-checking. And actually, the Institute did some research on that on their own, on some Facebook pages and groups, and found out that, yes, you know, some of these practices were being carried out. So some of these posts, they had labels and they had some fact-checking, but not all the posts. So it's not clear how they are doing this. Why some posts have the labels and other posts with the same information do not have the labels. So it's not clear, Donny. And I think now the idea is that this code of practice needs to be improved, basically. And this is one of the main recommendations that, you know, the institute put forward in the report. And other institutes in other countries have done the same. So there are many recommendations, but most the main idea is we need more transparency. We need more data. We need more information. Another issue that we encountered was, for example, that the information was not divided by country. So we don't have information specifically about Ireland, if you want. it was information across all the countries in the European Union. So I think if we want to really tackle the disinformation problem in Ireland, we need these companies to have more transparency and give more information to researchers.
Ricardo, there's a site. No, I would never in a million years subscribe to it, but I monitor it just to see the level and the type of disinformation that's on out there at the moment, and it's freely accessible to anybody. And some of the stuff that's on it is absolutely bonkers. More of it is tantamount to, I don't know, what would you call it? It's almost like encouraging a coup of the country, like where they're advocating the targeting of ministers' houses, and where the personal targeting of the ministers involved. Now, I'm of a school, and I don't know, did you ever hear the phrase, but it was one that was very pertinent in GAA circles: you play the ball, not the man. This seems to be the direct opposite. They're play the man and forget about the ball. And I mean, totally, it has been taken over by conspiracy theorists, anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers, you name it. Some of the misinformation on it is absolutely scandalous. Now, what I want to know is, without subscribing, without having to look too hard, I can find that. Why can't platforms like that be just shut down on the spot? Or else, if you are an advocate, which I am, of freedom of speech, if somebody puts up something which is blatantly false, which is, let's call it what it is, a total lie, a complete fabrication, and are putting up stuff which is derogatory, misleading, and defamatory about people, why cannot they not be prosecuted? And start making examples, because until such time as people are prosecuted for wrongdoing, the wrongdoing will continue, and that's right across the board. I mean, let's be honest, if it wasn't illegal to go robbing banks, we'd all be doing it.
I know, I get your point, Johnny. There are many issues involved in that, Johnny, and all of them actually come down to regulation. So the first thing is, disinformation is not illegal, okay, in most countries. So it's not illegal. There's no law against information properly, especially online. So most countries, because this is difficult to create laws that will make disinformation illegal. So, that's because this kind of laws will ultimately create issues around, for example, freedom of expression, as you said. Because some things are obvious. You know, like if you're promoting a content about, I don't know, child abuse, so of course you have to take this down, you know. However, there are some gray areas that we have to address. I mean, it's not really easy to understand what people can say, what people cannot say, because we have to preserve freedom of expression. So like what's the limit about what I can say and what I cannot say? And who is going to decide that? The government, the platforms, independent organizations. And another issue is that, you know, these digital media platforms, they are not like traditional media in a sense that they are not legally responsible for the content, you know, they have. So this content is created by ordinary people like me and you, and we go there and we just post it. So they are responsible for some kind of content, such as I said, you know, child abuse or terrorism, there's something on this level. So they have to take this content down. So that's why it is complicated, and that's why we need a regulation. Now, what kind of regulation we want? And this is a discussion, Donnie, that we have to have, you know, with the civil society, with people. We have to ask people, what kind of digital environment you want for you? Is it a digital environment where anyone can say whatever they want? So we have 100% freedom of expression, but then we're going to have, you know, racism, we're going to have terrorism, we're going to have people telling lies about other people and about minorities and stuff. Or we want a digital environment where not everything is allowed. But then we come to the question, what is the limit? Do you know what I mean? So this, and again, and who is going to regulate this? Like the code of practice that we were talking about before, it is a self-regulatory mechanism, like we say. So, you know, the European Commission put this together, and then the companies are signatories, so they decide what they're going to do, you know, in a voluntary basis. So this is self-regulatory.
Well, we know in this country, Ricardo, and most other countries as well, particularly as a follower to the banking crisis, that self-regulation does not work. Now, again, I go back to my point, and this is something which irks me terribly. If I say something derogatory or defamatory about you or anybody else here on air, number one, I'll be taken off air, and quite rightly so, unless I can defend it. Number two, the person who is the subject of the comment is quite entitled to land me down in front of the civil courts on a defamation act. Now, what I fail to understand is if those standards are applied to us in the media, I mean, the hint is in the title, like social media. It is a form of media. So why not start applying the same level of restrictions, or not even restrictions, but governance towards all forms of social media? It's to me, it's a really, really simple solution, because from what I can see, it's totally the Wild West out there in relation to social media. People can put up whatever they like about whomever they like, and know that they're quite safe in doing it, and that there will be no repercussions on them. And until such time, and this is only my opinion, and I would like your opinion on my opinion, like, until such time as those sort of barriers or boundaries are put on social media, it is going to continue in the same way, and people are going to get hurt emotionally. And I mean, there's a lot of people reading stuff about themselves, and they may not be in a great frame of mind when they're reading it, and it has detrimental effects on people. Fair enough, like, I mean, if you don't agree with my opinion, put a counter argument, but there's no need to be insulting or degrading towards me personally.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. And to be honest, Danny, I think this is the most complicated issue that we have in the digital media field nowadays, is exactly about regulation and freedom of speech and finding the balance between those two things. And again, as you said, why you, as a broadcaster, if you say something wrong, you will be prosecuted and you'll probably lose your job. Whereas you have these digital media platforms and people go there and say whatever they want, and most of the time nothing happens. The thing is that it's the very nature of the business model, you know. So it's assumed that, look, we are digital media platforms. We are neutral, which of course is not true. It's not true because they are not simply neutral platforms. They are some kind of media forms. You know, they have a format. They work with algorithms, and these algorithms decide a lot of things that we're going to see online. So it's not absolutely totally neutral. It's not a blank space where you go and people just post things that you're going to see these randomly. No, there is a structure. You know, there are algorithms working for them and deciding what we're going to do and what we're going to see. And this, of course, affects our behavior. There is a design. And this design pushes us some content, and this design makes us stay connected for longer time. This design makes us feel good about, you know, when we receive a like or a comment or something like that. So, of course, they are not neutral. And that's why, because they are not neutral, that they can't simply say, well, you know, we are not doing anything here. I'm not responsible for someone else who is coming here and posting something online. They have to be responsible, but the problem is how they're going to be responsible. Because how they're going to limit it? So they are doing things right now, right? So they have moderation, for example. But moderation, you know, has its limitations, because moderation through algorithms, the automated moderation, doesn't work perfectly. You know, at least for now, it doesn't work perfect. So you need people to do that. But you need thousands of people to moderate content, and they're still not able to moderate everything. So I don't have the numbers here with me, but I mean, the amount of, for example, fake accounts that Facebook take down every day, it's something, I mean, it in the order of dozens of thousands, you know, every day they take down. So it's really hard to pick up with this disinformation environment. Now, what I believe we have to do is we have to put all this on the table. The first thing that we need is transparency. Like one of the things that this report by Fuji shows is that we need more transparency. We need these companies to open the black box and show us, okay, this is how it works. This is how we affect people. This is what we are doing to counteract this information. But not only superficial information. We need to understand everything that's going on there. Why they're hiding this from us? Because of the business model? Because they're going to lose money?
That's exactly what I was about to come to, Ricardo, and you just got there about 30 seconds ahead of me. Is this solely down to money? And what I think the term in social media land is clickbait, that it doesn't matter how outrageous the assertion is, if you can get enough people clicking on it, you're making money. And I mean, we have seen an astronomical fine handed down there recently to, was it Google or Facebook or one of those, by the EU Commission. And, you know, it was an eye-watering sum, but it was eye-watering until you looked at what that company's profit was for the year. And I think I made the analogy that it'd be like fining somebody who was a millionaire to be fining him €1,000, because the amount of money, while it was eye-watering to the normal person, was a drop in the ocean compared to the profits that they were making.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that it is only about money, but definitely it is a very important factor, of course, Tony, because the whole business model of these companies run around that. So, for example, what's the goal for these companies? Data, our data. You know, if they don't have our data, they cannot run the business the way they do. So they need our data. They need our personal data. Every time we go online, we leave tracks. We leave a lot of data for these companies. We give data to them. And then they use this data to create digital profiles about us and sell fragmented audiences to advertisers. So in a very, you know, short summary, that's how the business model works. So if you regulate this, first of all, if you ask them to give more information to us, we'll understand better about their business model. I'm sure they don't want that. Second, if we regulate in a way that they will not be able to collect our data the way they do today, what's going to happen? It will affect their business model again. So everything is around, you know, the way the business model works, for sure. So, you know, they have a big lobby, Tony, and they have a big lobby in the U.S., they have a big lobby here in Europe, you know, and they are using this lobby in order to try to push back all these forms of regulation. So for years, they've been relocating to give us information, saying, okay, no, this is, you know, this is a private company, we cannot give information about what we're doing because this is our business model, it is about our codes and everything. However, when you have a situation where these platforms are affecting the society the way they are, and here I have another issue, Johnny. We know that this information is bad for society, but do you know how much it is bad for society? I don't know. Nobody knows because we don't have the data. So again, we know
for a fact, Ricardo, that if enough people were to buy into some of these theories and some of the stuff that's up there, it will cost lives, and it has cost lives.
Exactly. We don't know how much. That's my point. We don't know exactly how this affects. We know, I mean, if you know that people are falling for conspiracy theories, of course this has an effect on the way they are making decisions. And, you know, like during the COVID-19, we are seeing people that don't want to take vaccines, people that are against isolation and so forth. And so they're making very important decisions for them and for the society as a whole, based on hoaxes, based on conspiracy theories. So we know it is bad. But what I'm saying, John, is we don't know exactly how much it is. We don't know exactly how this affects people. When we talk about the interference of Russians, for example, in the United States election 2016
was the Trump election. Yeah, that's right. 2016 election. Yeah.
Again, we know there was this information around, but we don't know exactly how this affected people. We will only be able to know that when these companies open the black box, when they come to us and say, "Here we go. This is how our business works. This is how algorithms push, you know, this kind of information to this kind of target audiences, so that you're going to have, I don't know, 30% of people doing this and 15% of people doing that," then we can actually understand. Because for now, what we're doing is we have case studies. You know, we can do some case studies. But they're just case studies. So they are good to get some small amount of data, and we can have a superficial understanding about what's going on. But it's still too little. I mean, we need more.
Dr. Ricardo Castellini da Silva, PhD in Media Literacy at Dublin City University. Ricardo, thank you for joining me today. And I will just leave you with this little nugget that I heard recently from a very intelligent man, right up there with your good self. And he said, if we had social media in the 1950s and 60s, we would still be battling TB in Dublin. There's one for you. Ricardo,
thank you, Donnie. Thanks for having me.
As always, it's a pleasure. It's something that I will be keeping a very, very tight eye on, because it's something that I think needs to be resolved, because it is affecting people, it's affecting families, and it's costing lives. So, I mean, I'm all for social media. I think it's a great thing, but it's like everything. When good things are abused, bad things happen. Ricardo, until we talk again, thank you so much.
Thanks, Donnie. Bye-bye.
Near FM.